What do the election results mean for your wallet and for the broader economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The results are still coming in from yesterday's elections, but we do know that Republicans will control the House of Representatives and Democrats will continue to control the Senate. That'll have an immediate effect on the debate over whether to extend the Bush tax cuts, which expire at the end of the year. For more on that, we're joined now live by Mark Zandi. He's chief economist at Moody's Analytics and was an economic advisor to John McCain's 2008 presidential campaign. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Well, first on the tax cut issue, the Bush tax cuts, as I said, are set to expire at the end of the year. Democrats had wanted to extend them for only those making under $250,000 a year. Republicans wanted to extend them for everyone. What happens with that debate now?
I think there'll be a compromise. I think in all likelihood, no one's taxes will rise in 2011, but those higher tax rates for upper income individuals will be phased in beginning in 2012 and into 2013. So I think they'll find a middle ground.
All right. Now, the other thing is a lot of people that we've been speaking to over the last few days have been saying that a divided government is good for business, or at least business likes divided government because it means there won't be a whole lot of new regulations to deal with. What's your sense on that?
I think that's correct. There are pluses and minuses, and one of the big pluses is we'll get a bit of a policy timeout. No major economic policy decisions will be made, and that'll give businesses a chance to digest all the epic policy changes that have occurred over the past couple of years. You know, obviously healthcare reform and financial regulatory reform being at the top of the list. And until a lot of T's are crossed and I's dotted, I think businesses are going to be reluctant to go out and invest and hire, and this will give them a chance to get clarity and hopefully begin to hire more aggressively.
And quickly, Mark, the minuses?
Well, the key minus is if the economy starts going south, if we go back into recession, it's going to be very difficult for a divided government to come to some compromise to address that weakened economy.
Okay, Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytic. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
It wasn't just politicians on the ballot yesterday. There were a lot of ballot measures in states around the country. Voters registered their views on taxes, the federal health care law, and climate change. Marketplace's Scott Tong has some of the highlights.
California voters overwhelmingly chose to keep their state climate law. It requires one-third of energy in the future to come from renewable sources. In fact, many big oil companies actually prefer the law, says analyst Kevin Book at Clearview Energy Partners. Why? It caps emissions, but lets the industry decide on how to meet those caps, say buying pollution credits or selling cleaner natural gas into the market.
The irony of all of this is that cap and trade gives flexibility to big business by giving them a choice of when and how they're going to meet their reduction targets.
Supporters of the green law far outspent the opponents, which included two out-of-state oil refiners. On health care, Oklahoma and Arizona voters said yes to nullifying the federal law, the part requiring people to have insurance. It's not clear if that would fly in court. And in Washington state, Bill Gates Sr. supported a measure to tax the wealthiest residents. It went down. In fact, the company his son once ran, Microsoft, opposed the tax hike. In Washington, D.C., I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. European markets are up just a fraction of a percent right now. Asian markets also higher as investors wait for word from the Federal Reserve, which is expected to announce new plans today to boost the economy. Yesterday, the Dow jumped 64 points. It closed at 11,188.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, with financial professionals nationwide who are trained to serve the unique financial needs of their clients at massmutual.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by PBS, taking you deep inside the world of the big top. Circus, starting tonight at 9, 8 Central on PBS.
Today, 20,000 flight attendants with Delta Airlines finished voting on whether to unionize. The merger of Delta and Northwest has brought Delta's non-union employees together with Northwest's mostly unionized workforce. Jim Burris has more from WABE in Atlanta.
Between the radio and TV commercials like this one from a major union,
we need those workers to keep their jobs.
That's why you'd think this union vote was really a national referendum. If the majority votes yes, this could be the first time in its 80-plus year history that people other than Delta executives determine wages and benefits.
We don't believe that the outcome of these representation elections would materially change our cost projections.
That's Delta spokeswoman Gina Laughlin. She says in the 2008 merger with Northwest, Delta already factored in what a unionized workforce would cost the airline's bottom line. Delta is hush-hush on those figures, but Laughlin says this issue isn't so much about cash.
This is about culture, not costs.
Laughlin says that the company already has an open-door policy where managers and workers have no trouble negotiating wages and benefits. Dan Petrie heads the business college at Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Florida. He agrees corporate culture is important, but says unionizing Delta workers doesn't have to change that culture. That depends on Delta.
The onus is really on management to work tirelessly, to identify areas where they and their workers can agree and build a positive relationship, whether there's a union involved or not.
Petrie says wages don't play as big a role in the industry's bottom line as airplane capacity and, one more thing, customer satisfaction.
I think at the end of the day, what really matters is how do the workers interact with their customers, because that's what really builds your reputation.
So a merger that 2 years ago began with the question, which soda do we choose to serve, Coke or Pepsi, concludes with which status do workers choose, union or non? In Atlanta, I'm Jim Burris for Marketplace.
And finally, San Francisco's Board of Supervisors has passed a law that bans restaurants from giving away toys with kid meals that are deemed unhealthy. The law says if you want to give away a toy, the meal it comes with can't have more than 600 calories and has to contain fruits and vegetables. I guess the kids in San Francisco will just have to play with their food. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Inner Mongolia is making so much money selling coal to China that they're building whole new cities. Problem is, nobody lives in them yet.
The nearest supermarket is half an hour away. Will people start to move here? There are still a lot of empty properties.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Mongolia's growing pains and all the day's business news, the numbers from Wall Street as well. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.